Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. I haven't been here in a few weeks, so it's nice to see all of you this morning. God's blessings on your worship. Please join us as we sing our opening hymn, number 402. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given a son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble.
He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion.
He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name.
Holy is he,
The King in his might loves justice.
You have established equity.
You have executed justice
and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God.
Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests.
Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them.
In the pillar of cloud he spoke to them.
They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them.
You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings.
Exalt the Lord our God.
And worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God,
in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain that is the valley of Jericho, and the city of trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James, John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed on the inside back cover of your hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. And he was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. This time the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning. You're very sparkly today. Yeah, my little girl has clothes like that too. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. So this is Ohio, right? Uh-huh. We're in Ohio? Okay. Are there mountains in Ohio?
No.
No. It's pretty flat, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever been to a mountain? Or seen a mountain? Maybe?
I mean, we have been on a mountain.
You have?
Uh-huh. There's a little place in Watsian.
Mm.
It's like a...
Is it a big hill?
Yeah.
Well, I know in Ohio and Indiana, where I'm from, sometimes a big hill can look like a mountain because there's not much else there, huh? Yeah. So do we read about mountains in the Bible? Yeah? Yeah? What kind of mountains do we read about in the Bible? Have you heard about Mount Sinai? Yeah. Have you heard about the Mountain of Transfiguration that we read about today?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you just heard about it so in the gospel reading, so I would hope so, right? Now, God does some pretty cool stuff on mountains. Do you remember what he does with Moses on Mount Sinai? What does he give to Moses? There's 10 of them.
10 commandments.
The commandments, right? He gives them the 2 tablets of stone, right? So the mountains in the Bible, that's a lot of times that's where God talks to his people, right? They go on top of the mountain and they talk to God there. Well, in today's reading, Peter and James and John, they go on top of a mountain with Jesus. And who shows up? Do you remember?
God.
Yeah, and Moses and Elijah. And were they afraid? Yeah, they were pretty afraid because a cloud comes down, right? And this voice comes down, right, out of the heavens. But what God is teaching us through the story, what he was teaching Peter and James and John, is that Jesus is actually God. Jesus, his clothes and his face turn white, and he's talking to Moses and Elijah, and the voice comes out of the cloud, and he says, "This is my son, right? Listen to him." You remember what part about Moses do you remember?
That he redone the commandments and broke the commandments.
He did, yep. He was pretty angry then, wasn't he, right? But Jesus doesn't go on top of the mountain to be angry. He goes on the mountain because after he's done there, he goes to Jerusalem because he knows he's going to die on the cross for our sins, right? And that's what he does as God. He dies for our sins and he rises so that we can go be in heaven with him. So, would you guys like to pray with me? That'd be okay. All right, let us pray. Dear God,
thank you so much
for sending us Jesus to die for our sins and help us
to listen
to your son. In your name we pray.
Amen.
All right, you guys can go back. Thank you very much. We continue with our sermon hymn number 413. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So I'd be willing to bet that if I were to go into downtown Fort Wayne where I live and sort of do a man on the street Sunday and ask 10 people who God is, I would get 10 different answers. I'd also be willing to bet that a lot of those answers would sound something like this. Well, you know, God wants me to be happy. God is someone who wants us to be nice to each other. If you're a good person, then God lets you get into heaven when you die. God is bigger than any one religion. So the important thing is that we're nice and kind to one another. In other words, I would bet that in general, most people's ideas about God are shaped more by, you know, people like Oprah or the Chicken Soup for the Soul books than by any clear reading of Scripture. I'm not blaming Oprah or Chicken Soup for the Soul. You know, human beings, we want to be accepted. We want to be loved. We want to be happy. And so, of course, we tend to be more comfortable with a squishy, warm and fuzzy God who approves of us unconditionally and caters to our every whim. Culture around us is just giving us what we want. When our culture talks about God, it's talking to a sort of a consumerist society full of people like us, you know, bratty kids who want everything our own way. And so, of course, our society's God is going to reflect that. In a world full of self-absorbed people, that's just the way things are. But what if instead of asking who God is, I were to ask who Yahweh is? I mean, that's a little different, isn't it? It's not nearly so ambiguous. You know, at least among those who have heard that name before, it isn't associated with warm and fuzzy at all. That name brings to mind pillars of fire, worldwide catastrophic floods, smoke and fire and earthquakes upon the tops of mountains, animal sacrifices, temples and priests, wars and conquests, covenants and curses, prophets and visions, and a being with the authority to speak the entire universe into existence. When we say Yahweh, there is absolutely no misunderstanding about whom we are speaking. This is not the warm, squishy God of our culture. This is the God of Scripture. This is I Am. The God of our culture, the one that we've made for ourselves and by ourselves, He exudes niceness. The true God of Scripture exudes holiness. Absolute holiness. Holiness so great that sinful man cannot stand in His presence without the risk of death. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is taking three of His disciples up onto a high mountain, and there He is going to show them a sign. This isn't the first sign that He's shown. Jesus has cast out demons, He's calmed a storm, He's healed the sick, only to be kicked out of Nazareth. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Where did this man get these things? He's then gone on to walk on water, feed 5,000 people, and give a deaf man his hearing back, only to be met by the Pharisees, who came and began to argue with Him, seeking a sign from heaven to test Him. Apparently, after everything He's done, there's still room for confusion, for denial, and for rejection. However, today is different. Today, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, not to show them a healing or to command the weather. No, Jesus takes them up on the mountain, and there He shows them something straight out of the pages of the Torah itself. And He was transfigured before them, and His clothes became radiant. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Immediately we know this, there is no longer any debate, or at least not any room for debate, over who Jesus is. For all intents and purposes, the disciples have been taken to the summit of Mount Sinai, into the presence of God Himself, and are holding court with Moses and Elijah. There on the mountain, Jesus appears to them not just as a man, but as the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, who spoke to Elijah on the mountain, the author and the giver of the law and the Holy One of Israel. This is the one testified about by the figures standing on either side of Him, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. The disciples are standing in the Holy of Holies, in the unveiled presence of God, and they were terrified. I mean, of course they were. People die in the presence of God. In his terror, Peter is at loss for words, did not know what to say, and he talks about building three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses and Elijah, and who can blame him? Who isn't struck speechless in the presence of God? In Exodus 3, as he stands in the presence of God, Moses says, "O Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Isaiah, as he sees a vision very similar to what the disciples are seeing, he says, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, he says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God." So like their forefathers, the disciples react to the presence of God with terror and a loss for words, until, as on the summit of Mount Sinai, the glory cloud covers them, shielding them and protecting them from the blinding presence of God's holiness. You know, this may seem unrelated, but I really do love the seasons we just came out of, Christmas and Epiphany, you know, truly. But you have to admit, however, those times of year sometimes have a tendency to make us a little comfortable. I think this is why Christmas becomes so commercialized. I mean, what's so threatening about a cute little baby lying in a manger? Even if we think he's God, surely Jesus must be the nice, cozy God who just wants us all to get along. And then comes the transfiguration, which shakes us out of our stupor and into reality. The transfiguration tells us that the baby in the manger, visited by the shepherds and the wise men, is the one before whom each of us is going to stand on the day of judgment, and to whom we cannot lie. The transfiguration tells us that Jesus, whose name our culture routinely takes in vain, both through its cursing and in sort of its ambivalent words about him, is actually the Holy One before whom sinful men in the Bible stood in tongue-tied horror. The transfiguration tells us that in the person of that sweet baby Jesus at Christmas, all the fullness of the deity is dwelling bodily. And he isn't interested in our excuses or our attempts to justify ourselves. He doesn't demand good intentions, nor is he there to cater to our feelings. He demands holiness, and none of us come even close to meeting that standard. I imagine that those thoughts were running all jumbled together through the heads of the disciples, and so I stand with them on this one. It is terrifying. Or at least it was, until the Father spoke. God speaks to the disciples just as he spoke to Moses, who was slow of speech and tongue, saying, "Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Just as he spoke through the angel to Isaiah, the man with unclean lips, "One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has taken away and your sin atoned for.'" So also now he speaks to the disciples who, standing terrified in the presence of the Almighty, do not know what to say. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." The disciples, having heard the voice of the Father, look around, and all they see is Jesus. Elijah is gone. All prophecy is fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Moses is gone. In Jesus Christ, they are no longer under the law, but under grace. The cloud is gone. They don't need it anymore. It's been replaced by the flesh and blood of their Lord, God incarnate. His flesh, a new glory cloud through which they can look at the loving, forgiving face of their God. The Bible teaches us that sinners can't stand in the presence of the holy. Our self-righteousness doesn't cover our nakedness. Our towers don't come close to reaching him. And even if they could, our sin continues to condemn us in his presence. And so knowing our frailties and weaknesses, God comes to us. Not on a distant mountain or behind a temple curtain, but actually to us. He becomes flesh and he dwells among us. In Jesus Christ, our God is no longer one that we have to stand before in horrified silence, but he's a loving Savior whose voice we hear, whose flesh we see with our eyes and touch with our hands, and in whom God and sinful mankind are finally and forever reunited. Our slow speech and unclean lips have been forgiven and purified by his blood, and he gives us his holy word to speak, words that we read as if we're hearing them from the mouth of God himself. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. As his followers descend down the mountain after this event, God doesn't stay behind this time. He descends down with them. He doesn't bring stone tablets, but instead he brings his own flesh and blood. He doesn't come down with God's law for us to keep, but rather he brings with him the payment required for our failure to do so. Here in the gospel, God remembers his covenant and his promise to bring his people out of sin and slavery and into the land that he's promised them. And so to do that, God comes down off the mountain and he journeys to another one. This new mountain, to borrow the words of Peter, has three dwelling places, and one of them is reserved for Jesus. The other two don't belong to Moses and Elijah, but they belong to two thieves. And it's on that mountain, as Jesus dwells nailed to the cross, that our sins are paid for and the holiness of God is given to us. And we're able to stand in God's presence not as terrified sinners, but as his own redeemed and beloved children. And so as we begin our Lenten journey, let us give thanks to God for the gift of his only Son, rejoicing in the redemption won for us as we depart from the manger and begin our journey to the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the offertory.
I render to the Lord for his benefits to me. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord and will call.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our Lord, who has gathered us to pray, would hear our petitions and open our eyes to see the redemption he has accomplished for us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith in God's promises, that the Lord whom we worship in this house would bring us at last to his heavenly home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For teachers of righteousness in our generation, that the God who appointed Moses would bring up new Joshuas to guide us in the days to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christ's bride, the Christian church, that she may have unity of doctrine and piety, and for this holy house, that those who enter here may do so in faith, reverence, and the fear of God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, the president and those in public office, for this parish and city, for the faithful, for favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, for all honorable vocations, businesses, and industries, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the troubled, the sick, and the dying, especially Alice, Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Renee, Brenda, Donna, and Janice, that by the prayers of Christ himself they would be brought through their trials, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For ears that hearken to the Lord's voice and his word, for holy lips to receive Christ's blessed sacrament and repentance and faith, and for holy awe at God's glory and the means of grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord
God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, number 417.